notes here. We're going to be in 1 Kings. We're starting tonight. We'll start in Exodus. We'll get to 1 Kings later. Let's turn to Exodus. Book of Exodus. How many of you are tired tonight? Raise your hand. You are tired tonight. I noticed that. The others are kind of just like, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with everybody tonight? Was there a good movie on or something last night? I hope not. Maybe a ball game? I'm hoping. But you're all tired tonight. And how many are glad you are saved? Raise your hand. Okay, good. Well, at least you woke up for something. Exodus 15. Exodus 15. How many think you can make the whole message awake? Raise your hand. You're not sure. Raise your hand. I see how you... Okay. I'm preaching staying awake in church tonight. That's my message, but we're preaching to the ministry, and we're continuing on that subject, but tonight we're talking about being blamed but blameless. Being blamed but blameless. A little Bible study more than a sermon tonight. Exodus 15, 22. So Moses brought Israel from the sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and went 3 days in the wilderness and no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Who did they murmur against? Moses. Who led him there? God. God told Moses, go this way, and Moses led him, and Moses said, okay, God's telling us to go this way. And they went there, out there, and there was no water. There legitimately wasn't water, and they said, what, this guy? I don't think he knows what he's doing. We're thirsty. And they began to murmur against Moses. But God led him. And then you go forward to 16, verse 1, and they took their Elim, and all the congregation of the men of Israel came unto the wilderness in, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, they're departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the men of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said, would God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when he sat by the flesh pots, and he ate bread to the full, for ye brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Nice. And I go to the book of Numbers. Numbers. And chapter 14. Let me go ahead and pray, and then we'll read this passage also. Pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. I pray that we'd have wisdom. I pray that we would gain knowledge into how to be a laborer and a minister and a servant and in the ministry for you, Father. And I pray you give us wisdom in this, Lord. Father, we're all called to the ministry in one way or another. I pray you'd help all of us as we ministry to understand wisdom of how to deal with situations that come up and how to keep on doing the right thing, Father, in the middle of it. We need your power and we need your wisdom. We need the Holy Spirit to be the guide, Father. And Lord, we just need you to give us, Father, from heaven. I pray that you'd move me aside. Speak through me and just what you want said tonight and help us to see the truth of this and maybe an encouragement to those who are served. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Numbers, in these two passages you saw, Moses was doing God's will and Moses was leading them where he's supposed to lead them, and they're murmuring and complaining against him and then the other against him and Aaron. In other words, it's guys' fault, and they blame the problem Moses. It wasn't Moses. And in chapter 13, that's when they sent the spies in a Canaan, and 10 were bad and 2 were good, and they came back, and only 2 of them said they could go win the battle, and the other 10 said, we're going to die, we're last hoppers in their sight. And they all got discouraged, and they said, we can't go into the promised land, and everything's terrible. And the story in chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore the Lord brought us into this land to fall sword, that our wives and our children be a prey? Were it better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. I forget how miserable they were. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that served the land, rent their clothes. And spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we stood to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. As you were reading your Bible through, doing last night, wasn't it? And that's better than watching a movie and watching football. Your Bible last night, as you were reading your Bible every night, and you're reading your Bible through your Bible, a lot of times leaders in the Bible are in trouble with the people they're leading. And a lot of times in trouble. A lot of times a person sends as somebody is in trouble, and they get blamed. And talk about a little bit about in this passage. In this passage, they blame Moses because he brought them to the promised land, and now the promised land, they can't conquer it. It's your fault, Moses. You did it wrong. It's your fault. You're this, you're that. Then they decided, now they're getting serious. Then they decided they're going to stone stones. They're going to kill him. They're going to rocks and throw them at him until he died. Kill him. They're literally blaming bad. They said, we'll just kill this guy. We'll get us later. We'll go back into Egypt and be slain. And you see Moses is doing God's will and leading them. But they get the edge of the Red Sea. They do the same thing. They blame Moses over and over. And again, to enter the ministry, you need to learn to handle being blamed. You need to learn to handle being blamed. Now, you say, well, I'll never be a pastor, but you'll be a soldier. I'll never be a pastor, but you will maybe lead a Sunday class. You might go out and try to become a church. You might try to restore somebody to God. And that's the ministry. And you will find that as you to win your family to Christ and try to witness neighbors and you enter the ministry, you find that you will begin to be able to be blamed for things as part of the ministry. And if you can't handle that, you will not do real well in God's work. Very discouraged, and you'll be very upset. And there were people in the Bible who did that. When you began to enter the ministry, you need to learn to handle being blamed. First of all, as a leader. We see Moses in this case. Every time something went wrong, it wasn't, hey, Moses, God's used so far. What's God going to do this time? That's never what they did. Every time it was, Moses, why'd you lead here? We wish we'd have died. Why did God lead us here? Because you're a terrible leader, and we should have been Egypt, and you were terrible. And you. Every time they just blamed him. Leroy used to say everything rises and falls on leadership. The presidents, was it Truman? The buck stops here. Was it Truman? Truman said the buck stops here. And leadership should take responsibility for things. Understand, anytime you're the leader, with hypocritical Americans, you are going to get blamed. And every time something goes wrong, you will be blamed. Or when Pat Tillman was shot in Afghanistan, on top of a hill, and he's in special forces, he was waving to the other forces not to shoot, which he wasn't supposed to do. He's waving to the forces, and the people on the ground made a mistake. And Pat Tillman, who was a former NFL player, and you know who got blamed for Pat Tillman's shot? President Bush. President Bush had nothing to do with it. But he's a leader, and the leader always gets blamed, whether anything to, or she has anything to do with it or not. And people tend to be critical. You know, with people who are critical, and you're going on the vacation, you get a flat tire, you know people are going to criticize you. You know what? It was part of my plan. I planned at the 7-mile marker to get a flat tire. Why are you complaining? They'll blame you if they're people who aren't content people. Some people who have good spirits and a good wife will teach your kids, look, we got a flat tire. Let's see how this tire works. God gave us a spare tire. Praise the Lord. And you know what? God must have wanted to stop here. And I bet at that tire somebody's going to get saved. But it's kind of rare when somebody has that kind of spirit. If you would have changed it, if you would have bought tires, well, if you wouldn't have been all the money on new dresses, well, if you would be a wee, I would have known if tires get flat. And everybody gripes and complains and gets angry. You know, that's just the way we. And we remind America, remind me of the children of Israel. Manna is down from heaven. I want meat. That's kind of the way people are. And they grab things and they complain and they want more. And they always are never happy. Listen, you're in Israel that God just made the ready open up. You walked across on dry ground. It came in. The walls fell down of water and killed every single one of them. Do you think he could get water for you? And so, and they gripe and they gripe and they complain. And you know what Moses had to do? Lord, why did you give me these people? And that's basically what he said several times. And because why? Because you have to learn to handle criticism when you're a leader. The biggest way to get criticized as a leader is do something. If you do nothing, you won't get criticized. People like doing nothing. You went to West Coast. I remember Brother Chapel. We were at a pastor session, a luncheon, a question. And he says, getting ready to build a new, or somebody asked him, you just got done building a building, you're going to build another building, you have anything you recommend, building program? He says, first of all, plan on cost overruns. Number two, plan to lose a whole people from your church. Last time I had a building program, I lost, I think, 12. This time I'm planning on losing 15 families. He says, every time I build anything, I lose families. But he gets more from building it. And if you go forward and try to do anything, you always, first of all, whether you make a mistake or not, people just don't like change. Some just want to be content and do nothing forever. Okay? Number two, when you do something, no matter how good you are at things, things don't all work out perfect. You know how hard it is to get something to really work out like you planned? I mean, no matter how much I plan a trip, you know, I got this perfect trip planned, we're going to go on a vacation, we're going to go there at this time, and I got everything planned, and I'm ready to roll, and I think, I got it all done perfectly. And we're down the road, and one of it's, I got to go to the bathroom. No, to make Oregon first. I just started. It just always, you can have everything, and all of a sudden, your car's tech engine light comes on. You can have everything planned in a church. You got every detail planned out, and you go out there, and the shuttle goes, morning. Or when your kid's the night gets a cold or a flu and wakes up sick, you can't control things. And I remember, I know a pastor who was, doing a great work, tremendous work. And they built a new building, and they needed to expand their parking lot because they had so many people coming. And he was telling this that he talked to a guy he knew who put it out, and who put out the gravel, and they're just going to do gravel. And the guy says, the most it's going to cost is this much. I'll get you an estimate. I might be able to do it, but I can do it for this much. And so he told the people, we need to raise $16,000 for this parking lot. He said, we might be get it for less, raise that much. And then plan on doing it, and they get all together, and the city said, you can't do it like that. And he had raised the $16,000, I think it was, and it ended up costing, I think, $1,000. Well, that's just the way it went. He planned it all. Everything planned out real well. All of a sudden, guess what? A whole group of families says, this is irresponsible to say you need this money, now you need this much money, we're leaving. And he said, he told me a lot of families over that. Why? Because if you try to do things, no matter how well you plan everything in life, always work like you had them planned. I was going to get this job at this time, and I got money saved, and this is going to happen, and I got it all planned. I'll be out of debt. I'll have this figured out. Transmission goes out. It just happens. You will find out many times that Murphy's Law is almost Bible. It really does happen a lot of times. Hey, if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong at the possible time. No matter how planned it. Now, a lot of times you do things and everything works out fleeting wonderfully, and you say, what happened? But you know what? If you're a lead, somebody's going to sit and criticize you. At best criticizers, you know who they are? It's the ones who aren't doing. The ones who aren't thinking are just watching, looking for something to go wrong. Look, he did this wrong. If you have a big day at church, the school teachers, the workers, the people who are picking people, they don't notice if something goes wrong. They're too busy watching the blessing and working, and people do anything going, I think the pastor, his mouth is too close to the microphone. Your mouth on the microphone, eat it. And people are critical because that's the way they are. You will get criticized if you try to do anything. God, part of it's the devil. He's accused the brethren. And he has his tools in a family, in a church, in a nation. He has always somebody to criticize doing. And if you try to go anywhere and do anything, expect to take the blame if things don't work out perfectly. And clue for you, until you get to heaven, things aren't going to work perfectly. They're just not. And so you realize that I'm going to have to expect to have this happen to me. If you have any ministry of leadership, you need to say, okay, it was my fault. That's fine. Wait a minute, it wasn't your fault. It doesn't matter. You know what? Somebody's got to say, you're in charge, so ultimately it comes back to me. If you want to blame me. You know what very mature people can do? This is your fault. You're this. You're that. Yep, it's my fault. Should have done better. You know, I've kind of made it a policy, personally, is I don't really defend myself ever. I'll defend Jesus. I'll defend the Word of God. But you know, if you want to criticize me, I'm worse than you think. I deserve hell. I'm bad. Oh, you don't do this right. Oh man, it's worse than that, buddy. I'd have burned forever. I mean, I've done sins that put Jesus on the cross. How bad I am. I'm not going to defend myself. It's sort of the fed. I'm a wicked, vile sinner to burn forever. If you want to criticize me, criticize away. I'm terrible. And you know what? People learn Moses sometimes, with a group of people who criticized him and blamed him for everything, went to God and said, you can destroy these people. He didn't let it get him bitter. And he just said, you know what? Let's just deal with this. And Lord, what are we going to do? He didn't spend time arguing back with them. Did you notice that? if we read forward the passages, you'd find Moses going to God and say, God, what are we going to do? He didn't go, you, what are you doing criticizing me? You, I tried this. I got you across the Red Sea. How far are you thinking of God without me? He could have said, you'd still be a slave. Go back to Egypt. Fine. I mean, that's what I'd be too. You want to go back to Egypt? Everyone's going back to Egypt. See ya. God parts the Red Sea, going back. And you know what? I'd let him go back. But Moses said, Lord, what are we going to do? We need water. We need food. Go over to speak to the rock. Okay, rock, leap forth. He didn't even lower himself to the level. You want to blame me? Fine. You know what? You think I didn't do good enough? That's fine. You got to learn as a person who's going to be used by God to take blame. You don't always do anything right. And when you don't do something right, somebody, if you need to for clarity and somebody really has a question, sometimes somebody will be and they'll say, this looked like it was wrong to do. Then I'll deal with it because I think that they might be wrong. But if they're just going to blame me for whatever. By the way, when you are a leader, they'll blame you for everything. Their kids turn out bad, guess what? It's a pastor. It ain't my fault don't turn out. Unless you're going to my home and let me spank your kids, please do. Unless you're going to put them in my home, unless you're going to let me raise kids, unless you're going to blame me for kids don't turn out, you're blaming them. Don't blame me if finances are bad. You told me we should tithe. God bless your finances. You've done that. You know, in debt for 15 years and something you don't have. It's you can't control your money. What are you blaming me for? People will always blame someone else. And now we're to the point now where kids who mess up their lives later in life go back and mom because of what they did in their eight. Listen, enough now, buddy. You should have made your own decisions and done right. And you got to learn to take blame and just say, fine, if I don't blame me. You got to be mature. Brother Hiles, they had a vacant building, and it was just a one-story vacant building right behind the church, a junky old building. They were going to left and make it a parking lot, and it went right behind the big giant auditorium, and so they on it. They bought the building. They gave the address. Went to the construction company. The construction company came. They went and they destroyed the building next, which was six-story full of furniture, a new building, and they leveled it. Don't ask me how the construction company can't full of new furniture, but they left the one-story building there and leveled a six-story furniture building to the ground. Literally, the guy who owned the building was coming the next morning, and he looked up, and it was just a big pile of rubble with all his broken furniture. And he said, what in the world happened? And literally, well, nowadays, this is early 60s, literally millions of dollars. This church, it just happened. Brother Hiles called the emergency deacon meeting. He said, if you fire me, I completely understand. He said, the wrong address got the company. They tore down the wrong building. Now we own two buildings that are both going to get demolished. One of them cost several million dollars. And now these two buildings, and we're just using them for parking lots. Very nice, expensive parking lot now that we're going to have back there. And he told that story about how he told the deacon to fire me. I understand. It's totally my fault. Blame. That's fine. His right-hand man told us things one day. He said, this has never gotten to explain something about the ministry. Brother Hiles gave the right address, and his secretary messed that up, and he's suffered for her all these years. She's dead now, I can tell you this. Nobody ever knew that. Let's see, from, I think, early 60s, 62, 63. Nobody knew that until, that would have been 1994, 95, before anybody found that out. Why? He was in charge. How a construction company out there and destroy a building, a furniture building, without saying, there's a nice piano in there. Maybe we should take that out or something like that. No, I don't understand. But they didn't. And he never blamed anybody else. I'm at the top. Blame me. Number one, as a leader, you must learn to take the blame. Number two, as a messenger, you're going to get blamed. Turn to 1 Kings. As a messenger, you're going to get blamed. 1 Kings 22. It's a very funny story. I'll just read it to you. You'll see the humor of it. 1 Kings 22, verse 8. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, that there is yet one man, Micaiah, this Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. He says, is there anybody else? These guys always just do one here. You got anybody who'll just tell us the truth? There's one guy, but I can't stand him. He's telling me bad things. That's because you're doing bad things. You're judged. He always tells people, I hate him. These two kings were talking together. Well, go get him, and then he says. And so they go to get him. And all the rest of the prophesied said, everything's great. Verse 14, the messenger was gone to call Melchias and to him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good in the king with one mouth. Notice the question here. They go to the prophet and say, everybody else has said it's going to go great. They've all declared good in the one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be word of one of them, and speak as good. And Micaiah, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, the speak. Good thing to do. Came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead battle, or shall we forbear? And he said, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. He's being sarcastic. You want me to say good? Here it is. Go ahead, everything's awesome. And the king said to him, how many times shall I dare thee, and thou tell me nothing but is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, okay, fine. I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, a shepherd, not a shepherd. And the Lord said, they have no master, let them return every man to his house. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee, prophesy no good concerning me but evil? Kind of hard to win here, isn't it? He says, tell him good. Except it says, okay, it's good, it's going to be great. You're lying to me, tell me the truth. Okay, it's going to go terrible, I'm going to die. I told you, tell me bad things. I'm going to get myself in trouble if I said it. That's like talking sometimes. There's no winning with this guy. No matter what he said, why? Because he didn't want the message. And when you don't want a certain message, you're going to blame the messenger for the message. Just try telling somebody who doesn't want to hear it, your sins are going to send you to hell. That's why the churches now are taking the word out of the gospel and the word hell out of the gospel, as they are afraid to offend because some people don't like the messenger who brings a message of judgment. And they want us to pause it. That's the biggest church in the history of America is interesting, because it never mentions sin and never mentions hell, and it's all hope, good, and it's happy and be good. Why? Because they like to blame the messenger for the bad message they don't like hearing, and they blamed him. And, well, it was true. And they did die. And they should under the messenger. They will blame you if they're the messenger. Next, when bad happened to them, they blame you if you're in the ministry. Let's go to 1 Kings 18. When bad things happen. Man, I could tell stories about this. Ahab was a wicked, 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 wicked who had a Bible that said, if you do these certain things, God's going to do this thing. He did those certain things, and God did those things. God's in a prophet and said, I'm going to let it rain in Israel because of your wickedness and all these other things. And he said, I'm going to do what I want to anyway. And then guess what? God did what he said, and bad things happened. And Israel's in big trouble. Elijah brought him the true message. And it happened exactly like he said. Okay, that's all simple. You put your burner, you get your hand burnt. I'll put my hand in the burner. Okay, it's going to burn your hand. Ow, that burnt my hand. Surprise. And that's what happened here. And then he goes and talks to Elijah here. And if you go to 1 Kings chapter 18, and 7, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art he the trouble with Israel? Me? I'm just a guy who told you to put your burner, it'd burn your hand. You put your hand in the burner. Why the bad guy? He says, 18, and he said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, go out and gather all Israel to Mount Carmel, straighten this thing out. Elijah was blamed for troubling Israel. Why? Because he said, is there going to get any rain here? And the messenger many times, and those who have things, bad things happen to them, they blame somebody else. And the easiest thing to do when they're blaming God, like they blame Moses, they blame God's. And if you're the relative who's been witness to them, and all of a sudden, their child, somehow, they're going to blame you. If you're the one who's been trying to get them to serve God, all of a sudden, you say you need to serve God and get with God, and you go to a backslidden Christian and say, God is going to come back and serve the Lord. No matter how compassionately and loving you say to them, many times when something bad happens to them, they're going to blame you. They blame Moses. And if you cannot take the blame, you're going to have a very hard time in the ministry because you are the target because they can't shoot God. And Jesus said, if they hated, they hate me also. They hated the master, they're going to hate the servant. And so you must learn, you know what? Those who hate God are going to hate me. Those who blame God are going to be me. They can't see God, but I'm presenting God, and they're going to blame me if something bad happens. Sometimes, by the way, the Lord does when godly people are around. I've seen many times where a situation is a bad situation, and I got involved in around their lives, and suddenly God started working and trying to put any. What God does, He turns the heat up and says, "Let's decide for me or against me here." Many times in their life, where they've been miserable, comfortably for many, many, many years, all of a sudden God pressure on and things explode in their lives. That's biblical. How about Ananias and Sapphira? When it's working, they died in church. They stole God. And you find during times where God is doing a great work, and the wicked people sometimes, listen, J. Frank Norris's biography about the people who attacked and criticized him, they were dying tragic deaths. And God is at work, and when He's at work, He kind of draws a line between people, and many times God is putting the prayer on to say, choose ye this day whom you will serve. That's the next chapter. That's 1 Kings 18. The Lord's God, serve Him, Baal, serve Him, but let's go ahead and call fire down and choose a side. And sometimes when God gets involved, people have to choose a side. And sometimes God says, okay, I'm going to punish you because you're evil, and you know what? You get blamed because you started working, God started working through you to influence their life, and get blamed. As a soul winner, you'll find out that they now begin to look for faults in your life so they can blame you and find criticisms in you. Once you begin witnessing your family members, you can drink them, party with them, do whatever you want with them forever, and they will think you're fine. All kinds of things, you can change your life. Once you witness to them, it's going to watch you like a hawk. And boy, you mess up much. It didn't matter. They beat their wife. Got a DUI yesterday. They went and kicked their dog and wrote 3 songs and did everything else yesterday. They did all that yesterday, and you went and you ran light. I can't believe you, hypocrite. They did. Why? Because if you're bad, then what you say must not be true, and they're not going to hell, and they're just fine. And they try to find fault in you, and they'll try to blame you for everything. And it worked many times when you meet these people, and they know you're the Christian. The Bible says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And you will be blamed for things. They'll try to find fault in you, and they will try to find that. It happens many times. And times they will, when bad things happen to them, Israel at this time, you blamed. But you've got to keep on the side and say, okay, blame me, Lord. Bless them and save them and work on their life. And you just don't fight back. You're not returning for evil. Because part of that ministry being blamed, look at Jesus. Look at the apostles. You guys are preaching Jesus and the people are getting saved. Everything's fine, no big deal. They start a roar and they start a riot and come to the courts and point to the Christians and say, they have caused an uproar in our city. Caused the uproar. You did it on purpose. And they're teaching things against Moses. No, we're not. Because why? They want to blame somebody, because if they can blame that person and that person bad, then they're okay. So understand, being in the ministry is part and part of getting blamed by their people for what happens. As long as the evangelists are still after money people, they don't really need to go to church because they're all after money. Doesn't matter, churches aren't after money. They got some blame. And part of the ministry is you're going to be grouped together with people you're grouped with. You'll be criticized for things you had to do with. You will be blamed for things that happened that you had nothing to do with. And your good will be overlooked. Forget how far has brought them. We don't have water today. What have you done for me lately? And that's the thing. However, had all of that, your life should be so good that blame is empty. Let me take you to Titus chapter 2. Since we're on trial time, and since we're going to be trying to, they're going to blame us all the time. What if Moses really been worshiping idols? Or what if Moses really been doing something immoral? Then they really could have had a case. But they never really had anything, and Moses was able to keep his ministry because he had such a holy life that it was clear. And Titus chapter 1, you take Titus chapter 1. This is a qualification for a pastor. 6, if any be blameless, that's a big word, the husband of one wife. One of the things about a pastor, you must not blame him for anything. In other words, blameless there, totally innocent without anything wrong in your life. They can say, but you do this, they will. It isn't a thing. Somebody could go out and they could have went out and done yesterday and I visit them in jail. And if they don't want to listen to me, it didn't matter. They could have got a resisting arrest and spousal. I mean, you could make a links. But if I go in there, if I smell like I've been smoking, guess what? Will you smoke? That's all it takes. Forget about themselves. Now, I don't smoke before visits. I don't smoke. But I've said this before. If you're in the ministry and really God, if you have one thread hanging your sweater, the backslidden people You got a thread hanging out. Doesn't matter if their clothes are ratty and beat up and destroyed. You got a thread hanging out. And they're going to grab that thread and hang on because it justifies them. I say something to you. If you find out that Pastor Barham does have an issue, and you say, see, he's so my adultery's okay. Your adultery okay. Oh, Pastor Barham, you know what? My mom says you're a Christian, but mom loses her temper. So you know what? I'm going to become a drunk. Yerped. And it's still a sin. You're still sinning against a holy, perfect God. It's not your pastor. It's not your Christian youth pastor that you go sin. It's the God of the universe who's perfect. And people will try to blame you. Feel good about themselves then. See, look at them. You did. Well, do this, but you do this. I thought they did that in like second grade, but they don't. They do it when they're adults, and you wouldn't believe what they do. It's pretty petty. Chapter 2 of Titus and verse 8. Some speech that cannot be condemned, that he which is in the contrary part may be ashamed, have an evil thing to say about you. It's pretty powerful there. See how it's really hard to blame him? It's almost like if Matthew's living the life right, I go to Robbie and I say, you know, Matthew is such a nasty person. Robbie just says, you cannot use Matthew. I mean, I might not like what he says, but you know what? There's no way he's not that. You're so far above in your holiness. That's why we have biblical convictions, things we don't. That's why I have a lot of very high standards in my life that might not be a biblical thing, but to keep anybody from blaming me. I just stay a long, long way away from the line of sin. Why? Because I want anyone accuse me of anything to say, you know what? I think you're the wrong guy. He would never do that. He is so far from that. And the Bible says that we should be like that. Anybody even condemns us, they'll be ashamed. Everybody will say, come on, give me a break. That's not true. So you live in such a life that blame is an empty blame and does not go back to 2 Corinthians. By the way, many of you are Christians. How many of you have found this out with your relatives? How many of you have found this out with your relatives? They look you this way. They look you very intensely. How many of you have seen that? Raise your hand. You've seen this. Your relatives all see that. And that's why if you fall, you could go into church, back to your old morality. You have a movie you have and they see it. Whatever it is, you do things that they are. You let one cuss word slip, they remember it for 10 years. It doesn't matter. They cussed all day long. They're going to bring it up to you. They're going to use it to you. And that's why you got to be ready to be blameless. 2 chapter 6. And this is why you have to do this because of every. Giving no offense in anything, ministry, be not blamed. Giving no offense in anything, ministry, be not blamed. This is just because you're a Christian. Christians should just be and righteous because they're gods above Jesus. How are you in the ministry? You've got to realize that it's just your personal name and your own personal life that's on the line. It's the name of Christ. It's the ministry. Hey, you also have the name of your church holder. And know what you go to. And you go out and they'll say, man, those people from Open Door are a bunch of hypocrites. Don't do that. It's the people who go on TV and they're just for murder and say, God has a for this? Shh. Think about God. Listen, you don't want any... you don't want anything to do. You want, if people know you're going to church, they should say, you go to Open Door, you must be godly. Those people there really live it. We don't want people who are hypocrites. People are hypocrites in our culture. We've got it in such a way that the ministry never blame, and people never look down on the ministry or God's work or God's workers or Sunday school teachers or workers or whatever you're doing in the ministry. What you do, you should live in such a way everybody says, you know what? They live that. They have something real and can't explain it, and I can't blame them. They do live it. If you do that, when they blame Moses, God steps in and says, no, 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 no. And they blame Jesus, and all their blaming predicted itself. Remember that? When you live in such a way, the blaming ashamed them and looks bad on them. And that's what we've got to live in such a way. There's nothing real there. It's all just accusations. And false accusations, the Son of God had those against him. Yeah, I think you and I probably will. But realize that you will be blamed. You are a representative of Jesus Christ, a born-again, evangelist Christian who's preaching the gospel to people. You will be blamed by people who hate God and people who don't want to do right, and they will find fault. You got to be able to handle it. And then you got to live in such a way where they can't blame you. Good. Short lesson tonight. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer. Father, for the chance to teach your word, I pray you would be blameless. Lord, I pray that those who blame us would be ashamed, Lord, because they have nothing, no evil thing that's real. I pray the ministry wouldn't be blamed, but I'd be like Moses, who still had love and compassion for people. They blame us for everything, though they don't like our message, and they attack the messenger. Lord, I pray that we'd be strong in you, and I pray be willing to take any criticism that comes, because we're for you, Father, and it's because sometimes they don't like you and your message. Though Elijah didn't do anything wrong, he just said the opposite. Hey, if you do this, this is going to happen. The Bible says it. That when Ahab's come, Lord, we would all have not lived anything wrong in our testimony, Lord. And help us be like Moses to handle it with grace and go to you when it comes and not to get angry and bitter, fight back, Lord. But just to realize it's because we're trying to do something and then fighting it. Lord, people are supposed to keep these things in mind and live them. Pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just briefly, we won't have a come forward invitation. Or maybe tonight you'd say, Pastor Barham, I've got